So the Mishnah focuses us to the opening question of Shita is who? Who's Kasher Shecht and who is not? That's something you already saw many different angles on within the Mishnah itself. And that drives the first four blocks of the Masechta. Different sorts, different categories of people. How about someone who's Tameh? How about someone who is more or less acquainted with the halachas of Shita, something we'll come back to on Daf Tes and beyond? How about someone who's not fully religious? How non-observant is he? Mumar, Kusi, and so on and so forth. And at the very end of that Shachatarya, there's sort of many stages of that Shachatarya. First two blot are Amarom, Argar, Havim, Medayat, and Mishnah. And then Daf Hey, Daf Dalet, and Hey is further discussion about Kusi, about Mumar. And then at the very end of that Hey and Beis, the Gemara is grappling with a Takana Derabbanan that was enacted by Rabban Gamliel. He made a Din Derabbanan that the Shechita of a Kusi is unacceptable. And in the context of trying to figure out how broadly that applies and which Tanam Amram accepted that Takana and to what extent, the Gemara tells a story, the bottom of Hey and Beis, about Rabbi Asi, the second generation of Moran Eretz Yisrael, talking about his Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Asi says, I remember seeing my Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan, eat meat from an animal that had been shechted by a kusi. And here I see, it's Rabbi Yochanan, Sha'ocha Meshchitas Kusi, and Rabbi Asi himself is recorded as having done that at a later stage. And the Gemara assumes that's proof that they held that it was mutter. It's proof that Yochanan and Rasi held that whatever that particular scenario was of Shitas Kusi, that must be mutter. Why? Well, they ate it. The Gemara says, who says? Well, they ate it. The Gemara says, well, maybe the part of the Gemara is discussing is which Amoram knew about this Takana Rabban. The Gemara says, Rabbi Zeira says, it must be that they didn't hold of that Zeira Drabbanan, because if it's just that they didn't know about it, but had they heard about it, they would have been careful. The Gemara says here at the bottom of Hayim Beis, fire line for the bottom, and then we'll come to Vav Amud Aleph. If you think it's that these Amorim, Yochanan, Rabbi Asi, didn't hear about the record of that Gzeir Drabbanan against Shitas Kusi, but Yehava Shemilav Makablila, had they heard about it, they would have held of it. Then, Heichi Messiah Milsalam Echeli Surah. How could it have worked out that they actually succeeded, or failed, but succeeded in eating something which they would have held? It's awesome. Hashta Behetel Shon Tzadikim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mevet HaKal Yadam. Even the animals, the tzaddik's animal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will ensure that the tzaddik's animal doesn't eat something non-kosher, doesn't come to takala, come to a religious mess-up. The tzaddikim atzmo lo koshkin. Kal v'chomer. The tzaddik himself is not going to inadvertently do an aveira. So the Gemara says, if they ate it, it can't be that they just didn't realize, didn't know, didn't hear about the din drabanan. If they ate it, it must be that they had heard that they were Tanam and made such a din drabanan, and they held it didn't apply. It didn't apply at all, it didn't apply in this case. But it can't be that they ate it because they didn't realize what the din was. Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu maybe takala al yada. And this is really the end of the sugya, the very bottom of the hand of the day. This is the end of the opening four blah of the Masechta about who can shech. And this is where the tide turns to the next topic. It takes us from Hayim HaBeis all the way through Zayin HaBeis, which is this issue, this new sugya of Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu maybe Kalkala Al Yadim. The Gemara has a series of stories. In the very next story, let's take a look inside. A little more than halfway down Vav Amud Aleph. Rabbi Zeira, Rabbi Asi, Iklu Lepuntika V'Yoi. Two Amoraim from the previous story. This is an unrelated story. Separate historical incident, but it's going to overlap in terms of this klal. Rabbi Zeira and Rabbi Asi were traveling together, these two Amoraim, and they stayed overnight at the hotel in the town of Yoi. Rashi says, Puntaka V'Yoi, Shem Ha'ir, Yoi is the name of the city. Don't try to figure out what the E means. It's the punika de yai. The hotel, the Jewish hotel, the town of Yai. The Ami Ha'aretz, Rashi says, these the Jews who lived in Yai, it was the Jews who ran the hotel, were Ami Ha'aretz, as we began to talk about earlier today. Ami Ha'aretz in the language of Chazal doesn't mean primarily that they're not as learned, it means they're not as observant. Ami Ha'aretz, as opposed to Chaver, were Jews who were somewhat observant, but not fully medakti b'alacha. They kept some dinim, but they were loose, took inappropriate liberties with certain halachos, particularly in the area of afrashas masos. V'chashudin al ha'demai. So these people are Ami Ha'aretz, and as we began to explain earlier today, Chazal imposed the din d'rabbanan. You have a whole masechta about it. Chazal created din d'rabbanan of demai. Again, min haTorah, fruits and certainly grains and grapes and olives and min haTorah umi d'rabbanan, other fruits and vegetables also that grow in Eretz Yisrael. Grain, fruits, vegetables grow in Eretz Yisrael. You have to take off, as we said earlier today, around 20%. Of your crop goes to Trumas and Masras, various Trumas and Masras, a little more than 20%. And then the remaining 78% or so are Hulin. Initially, when you have before you've designated and separated out, set aside the Trumas and Masras, when it's all just, it's been picked, it's been harvested, they haven't had to have harvested Trumas and Masras yet, that is Tevel, and Tevel is forbidden for anyone to eat, even a Kohen. No one's allowed to eat Tevel. And that's misa b'deishamayim. It's a very severe chet to eat tevel. Once you have the way to remove the iser tevel from produce of Eretz Yisrael is to perform afarshas trumas and masras. Once I designate that this is a truma and this is masrish and this is masrishani, so on and so forth. Once I designate trumas and masras, so then the remaining 78-80% becomes kosher. That the trumas and masras each have their own rules. Who's allowed to eat them and where? Do you have to be tahar, kohen, levi, yerushalayim, and so forth? And the rest, the other 80%. Is now chulin kosher for anyone to eat, do with it as you please. It's now kosher, it's no longer tevel once you have performed nafarshim trumas maizos. As we explained this morning, min haTorah, as you saw, Rav Kahati gives you the pulls together from Chazal, min haTorah, that should be if I buy fruits and vegetables in Eretz Yisrael from a Jewish farmer, min haTorah, I can assume, if it still appears to be religious, I have the right to assume that it's kosher. If he's selling me the fruits and vegetables, and I'm certainly an end user or consumer, so he the grocer is selling me fruits and vegetables, I can assume they're meant for use. They're ready to wear hoof for sure, truma semaisus kidin. I can, the Torah should assume they're chulin. Midra Abana, and the Chacham said, look, if you buy from a chaver, for someone who's fully medakti gbalacha, yes, you can assume it's chulin. But if you buy from Am Haaretz, a Jew is somewhat selective in his halachic observance, so the Gemara says, min haTorah it's mutter. Why is it mutter even min haTorah? Min haTorah it's mutter because rov Ami Ha'aretz ma'asrin hay. The Tanam tell us, look, even among the Ami Ha'aretz, most Ami Ha'aretz, 60, 70, 80% of the Ami Ha'aretz are ma'asrins. But there is a minority, but a significant minority who are not. 10, 20, 30% are not ma'asrins. Min haTorah, I can rely on the rov. Midrabban Chazal said, don't rely on the rov. If you buy fruits and vegetables, you buy grain, you buy bread, you buy wine, from the Am Haaretz, we consider that demai. It's asim midrabanan until you do a partial hafrashos masros. That's a din drabanan of demai. In haTorah, it's mutter. It's not a suffix tevel in haTorah because the rove is that it's not tevel. Rove Am Haaretz masros. Most eminents are masros. And in haTorah, I can rely on rove. Rove in general is a sugya that's coming up in a couple of blocks. We'll get to it. The midrabanan, they said you have to be choshev for that miut. There is a 10, 20, 30% chance that the apples, that the wine that just bought from the Am Haaretz is tevel, because 10, 20, 30% of the Am Haaretz are indeed not careful about maser. So midrabanan, you have to take off maser once again. And until you take off that random maser, it's a rabban called demai. Tal mem aleph yud. So the Jews who ran this pundak, the Jews who ran this hotel are Am Haaretz. So they're going to hand you apples and oranges. They're going to hand you dates and figs. You have to eat mafresh. If the tree has the mind, do another farshas masters before you eat it. Midrabanan. So these two Tamiya Chachamim, Gedolei Yisrael, Rabbi Zeira and Rasi, they come there. They're traveling from point A to point B. They stop in Yai. they find a pundak to spend the night at, and they bring them supper. So the innkeeper serves them wine-infused eggs. Beitzim mitzumakos b'yayin. I don't know how many of you have eaten chalent eggs. How many of you have ever seen chalent eggs? A Hungarian delicacy. And you take the egg, instead of putting the egg in a pot of boiling hot water for a couple minutes to hard boil them, you put it in a slow cooker in the chalent pot, and it sits overnight, and it gets the flavor, the egg gets, it boils, it's chalent. Right, it's round, it has like a chalenty flavor. So in this, in Yai, instead of having chalent eggs, they had wine eggs. They cook the eggs, instead of boiling them in water, they boil them in wine.
That's a good idea.
Sounds like a delicacy.
It sounds like
a great idea if
the wine is
kosher. If the wine is kosher, it sounds like a great idea. Now, eggs, remember, as I was saying earlier today, we those who grow up in Chutzar, we don't have this sensitivity. We have this intuition that, you know, fresh fruits and vegetables are the most kosher thing possible. That's not true in Eretz Yisrael. It's only because we're Chutzar as Jews. So Eretz Yisrael, anything grows from the ground is a problem of Tevel, the problem of Demai, the problem of Orla, Shemitah, you know, all the halachas of Mitzvot Baretz, all Seder's wrong. Eggs don't grow from the ground. Eggs are laid by the chicken. So eggs are not a Demai problem. So here's a, you know, seems like a more or less observant Jew. We're not worried he's going to give us ostrich eggs. They get the eggs. The eggs I'm comfortable assuming are kosher. The problem is these weren't hard boiled in water. These were boiled in wine. They're wine. Instead of chalent eggs, they're wine eggs. They said that tzumach is b'yayin. Yayin is from grapes. Yayin does present a demonic problem.
Chalent eggs
are absolutely flation, unless you have a pirate chalent. Which, again, that's a larger discussion for a different time. When Chedesh Adler comes, not Chedesh. So Aisul Kamai again, to come back to Suga. Aisul Kamai beits him with tzumach is b'yayin. So they serve these two Tamei HaKam, these two Amaran, the wine eggs, among the other things on the table. Rabbi Zeira lo ochel, Rabbi Asi ochel. Rabbi Zeira took something else to eat, but avoided the egg. He passed on the egg, thank you very much. Rabbi Asi enjoyed the eggs. And afterwards, I'm going to Rabbi Zeira lo Asi, right? Said Asi. How you talking? Lo chayish lo marut is Rabbi. Lo chayish marut taru is demai. Is Rabbi not concerned about the possibility of the taru is demai, that there's demai mixed into the egg? It's flavored with wine. The wine is demai. These Jews here, they're very fine Jews, but they're not tavim. They're amei haaretz. So what did Rashi say? He says, "Ooh, lava detoy. I wasn't thinking. I wasn't paying attention. You're right. I wasn't. I should have been careful." So Rav Zeira was very taken aback. Why is he taken aback? He says, "How could that be? The same. And this is why this comes up here. The same kasha. And I'm Rav Zeira." After Gazra la Taruvas Demai, Umisai Nusdir Vasi la Nechli Suru? How do you talk it? Could it be that Mina Shamayim they allowed the Tzadik Ravasi to eat something trade? How could that be? Ain't a Kharish Bahu made it up a hash to the Hemcha Tzadik and a Kharish Bahu made it up a Yada. The God, the Kal, the Chomer, the same Kal, the Chomer, the Hem, the Hem, the Hem, the Hem, if even the tzaddik's animal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't allow a takala to occur. The tzaddik not from Okolshkein. All the more so, the tzaddik himself. Where does that come from? So you saw that on Daf Zayin and Aleph, after the Gemara goes through another one or two iterations of Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu maybe takala yadam, at the end, the Gemara says, Taka, what is the story? Here's Zayin and Aleph, and we'll come back to Bavim Aleph. My behalf to tzaddik, what's this whole story? We keep talking about the tzaddik's animals. Which tzaddik, which animal? It's the Ripidikus ben Yom Rabba, the tzaddik Ripidikus ben Yom. How about the Ripidikus ben Yom Rabba, the Oslo Pidin Shvuy? Ripidikus ben Yom was traveling to redeem Jews who had been taken into captivity, to buy their freedom. Either means he was going to collect the money, or he had the money, he was going to the jail, the prison, or the pirate ship, where these Jews were being kept captive. So on the way to fulfill the mitzvah of Pidyon Shvuyim, either step one or step two, the fundraising with the actual Pidyon. He comes to a river, the Ginoi River, Rashi says. Amalei, he began a conversation with the river. He needs to get across the river. Because he needs to get to the side to perform the mitzvah of Pidyon Shvuyim. So how's he going to? Yeah, he didn't have a boat. Maybe it was the river had overflowed. It was heavier than he had expected. Hard to know. but he wasn't, he hadn't come with the gear to get across the river, and he needs to get across. And time is of the essence. Situations, you don't know how long they're going to last before you're dealing with pirates, Jews at the mercy of pirates, Jews at the mercy of cruel Romans. You don't know how long they have. So every minute, certainly every day, matters. So we start finding, we'll find out when the next ferry runs. The ferry maybe runs twice a week. Well, who knows? It needs to get across now. So Pinchas Ben Yair was an unusual tzaddik. He has a conversation with the river. Ginoi, river Ginoi, you want to split your water. Everbach, he's asking for a nace, like Yoshua with the Yarden. The river says, why? You said because you're doing a mitzvah. That's right, you are doing a mitzvah, and so am I. You're doing Ritzon Kalmacha, you're doing the Ratzon HaKadosh, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon is that Jews should be involved in Yerushalayim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon is that a river should flow. Along the lines of what we taught this morning, we said, sure. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created every part of the universe for a purpose. The purpose of the river is to flow. I'm doing it the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm acting like HaKadosh Baruch Hu set me up in Shei Shnei Brishis. That's Ritzon Kodi. And Ata Safik Osa Safik Yata Osa Anim Ata Osa. If I split, you'll get across. Who knows if you'll be successful? Maybe you won't get the money. Maybe you won't succeed in convincing the captors to release the Jews. So you're a suffix mitzvah. If I keep flowing, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants rivers. That's Vada. So the river says, you haven't made a valid argument that you haven't convinced me that I ought to split for you. I'm also doing this. I'm doing a Vada mitzvah. You're not sure. Amalei, then the Pinchas Ben Yair says, okay, we got it. I don't have time for this. I got to get that suffix up on my brushes. So he says to the river, if he pulls out the nuclear option, he says, listen, if Yata Cholek goes Rini Allah Shol Yavar B'chamayim L'olam, I asked you nicely, and now it'll be a little tougher. If you don't split, I'm going to dam the Kadosh Baruch Hu that you should dry up. So, and then that's not going to be Ritzon Kodesh either. So, let's go. And chalak play. The nace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu does an ace, and the river parts to allow our people to go across. And then there was another, and then there were even people who rode on his coattails. There was another Jew who was carrying wheat for Pesach, for matzahs. You want to be sure to keep those dry, obviously. So I'm like, chalak play. Pinchas Ben Yair says, remember, you should split for him too. Halak le'nami, split for him as well. Halak le'nami lahai, split for this fellow as well. Do the mitzvah asik. He's involved in the mitzvah. It's shmiras matzahs. He's preparing matzahs. Hekshe mitzvah. Hekshe mitzvah akasat v'torah. And Tziv has a whole beautiful piece in the Hamad Shela, the very end of the Shultos. He develops the idea that if you have something that's only a hekshe mitzvah, but it appears in the Chumash, Hekshe mitzvah akasat v'torah, it has some of the qualities of a mitzvah. I think we discussed a little bit when we were talking about Yisachas before Yom Tov. Here we refer to baking matzahs, preparing matzahs, ushmarta mesa matzahs. Preparing the matzahs is a hekshe mitzvah akasat v'torah. Torah never says you have to harvest the wool of an esrei. That's implied. It never says it, so that's not hekshe mitzvah akasat v'torah. But tying tzitzis is hekshe mitzvah akasat v'torah. Making a sukkah. And preparing matzahs, preparing for the matzahs. See, he's keeping the wheat dry. That's why she said the pasuk for shmarta nesar matzahs. So he says, so Pinchas Ben Yair says to the river, look, this Jew is involved in hekshe mitzvah kasuk b'Torah. So let him go as well. Cholak leh. He also gets across. And then, haba hahu taya. There was an Arab, the lava bahadayu, that was traveling with these two Jews. Amalek says, "Chalak le'nami lahai." He says to the river, "Look, this Arab. We don't know that he's going to do any mitzvah, but you should let him go across." Also, why out of derech eretz? How so? The lalema kachos and bleidav lavaya. They shouldn't say that this is a look at the terrible way that they treated their traveling partner. He left them high and dry, or wet, whatever. He left them on the other side of the river. So Pinchas Ben Yair says, "Tells the river, you should let him go and call him." Wow.
So nice.
Great. Remarkable. Now, And this I mentioned earlier today, Tosis on the bottom, in the bottom, rivers don't talk. Rivers don't talk. The Tosis gives two answers. Very, very fascinating. This Tosis happens, we'll come back to our sugya in a moment above. The Tosis happens to be, it's easy to miss it. It's a fundamental Tosis in terms of how to learn Agadata. Tosis says, two Terutzim. Hadlul, what's his machlokes? The bottom Tosis of Zion and Ralph. Dear Rasul, Omar, Shemasar Shal Yamashim Loka. Tosis says, well, maybe it was the Malach who's in charge of the river who was responding to the Pinchas Binyan. In other words, the implied kasha is rivers don't talk. The answer is, yeah, it wasn't the river, it was the Malach. Okay? Conversation Malach and that we're familiar with. That's Gemara, that's many Gemaras, that's many Psukim in the Tanakh. Or, Inami, what's the second Terah? Rabbi Pinchas, Hayam Mechashem, Belibo, Shalakach Hayam Maniach Milach Lokwa. Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yo was thinking in his mind, it must be, this is why the river isn't splitting. In other words, it wasn't an actual conversation, even though the Gemara presents it as an actual conversation. Tosis is the second, the first day in Tosis is taking the Gemara literally, saying, someone responded, but it couldn't have been the rivers, because rivers don't talk, and we're not going to say, therefore, it must be the rivers. No, this is a Malach. Or, approach number two, again, the bottom Tosis I am Ralph, is maybe it's a Melitza. This is a way, the Gemara was dramatizing a true, an idea is true. The presentation is dramatic. It's not that the river actually said this, but Pinchas Ben Yair is thinking about it in his mind. He's thinking about all these issues of Hashkafa. I'm going to do a mitzvah. On the other hand, every part of the Bria has to do with Ratzon Hashem. Ratzon Hashem, every part of the Bria is to behave naturally, to follow the laws of physics and chemistry. That's Ratzon Hashem. Physics and chemistry are there because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created it. And then he goes back and forth. But on the other hand, my mitzvah, your mitzvah, this is all back and forth. Ultimately, it splits. So this is the second approach to Tosis, is that we're hearing the Gemara is dramatizing what was indeed the Shakal Vetaria in Rapunzel Biyar's head. He was thinking through this Sugyan Ashkafa. And Tosis, it isn't the only place where you see that. That'll be true elsewhere as well. But things have been said there with Melitza. Tosis, the famous Gemara of Elizabeth Berdaya, run up on the Zara Dafi Zion. This Jew was very, very sunken into chet, very depraved, very debased, living a life of incredible immorality. And at the very end, suddenly, in his prime, not when he was an older man, in his prime, he's suddenly inspired to change. And on a dime, he turns around and he says, I'm giving up all the chatan, giving up all the zonos. And he says, I got the tshuva. And he has this whole conversation with, he asks the skies to daven for him, asks the earth to daven for him, different inanimate objects daven for him, they all say, we can't daven for you, we've got to daven for ourselves. Finally, he says, he realizes, they don't tell me to be. Go on me. I can't look to anyone else. And he takes on the yoke of the old Hachuva himself. The Tosis says, what do you mean? He's talking to the sky. The sky responded. The sky doesn't talk. The earth doesn't talk. The Tosis says, same shot. It means he was thinking in his mind, and he came to the recognition of this Yisod Hashkafa, that you can't rely on someone else to do your tshuva for you. It has to be you. You want to change? There are people who can help you. You should reach out to people for guidance, for advice, for support, for reinforcement. But ultimately, you have to make the move. So that's all the background to this. But again, Pinchas Ben Yair is traveling. He's traveling. He's a clearly unusual time. And then, finally, the end of the Amud, the Gemara says, so do you see what a great tzaddik he was? The Yamsuf split once for Moshe Rabbeinu and all the 600,000 Jews. And here, this one Jew engendered three splits of the river. The Gemara says the following. Ikla, the very bottom is Zion Al. Ikla lahu shpiza. This holy tzaddik from Yar stops after having crossed the river, stops overnight at a hotel, at an inn. Romulei sairei lechamrei. So nowadays, you come into a hotel overnight, you park the car in the garage, either you park yourself, the valet takes it, and you go to your room. Back in the old days, you would park your donkey in the garage. Okay, you give it to the garage, they would take your donkey, they bring the donkey to the stable overnight, and you get to eat supper in your room or the dining room, and they give supper to the donkey. They'll feed the donkey oats, whatever they feed donkeys. Here they gave him barley. Romali Sayre Lechamre. They gave Sa'orim to the bar, they presented the donkey with Sa'orim. Lo Ocha. The donkey refused to eat, which is very strange. So Chavtinu Lo Ocha. Nakrinu Lo Ocha. They tried to clean it. They figured maybe this donkey is a gourmet. He's very high standards. He's a very chachi, high maintenance donkey. And maybe our barley isn't good enough for him. It has too much dirt and pebbles mixed in. So they try whittling. They try doing it even by hand. Nothing doing. The donkey won't eat. They can't figure it out. So what do? They come to Ben Zvignar. And not going to say, we're really sorry to bother you, but we're trying to feed your donkey. And we got to gas up the donkey. You'll be traveling tomorrow. We got to gas up the donkey overnight. We're going to give the donkey supper in the morning, very early. The donkey's not eating, so I'll let you know. So he says, I'm going to dim a little master. Then we talk about Zion Bay. Well, maybe you didn't take a miser from the parlor? Awkward. Rabbi, funny you should mention that. So Asrinu, they went back, they took Meiser off of the barley, and the donkey was happy to eat. Mamish. But this wasn't even, there was nothing physically different at all. It's the same donkey. The same donkey, oh. Amar, he said, Aniyazu, this poor donkey, Halacha Zasim Sam Kona, it's trying to follow the Halacha, the Atim Achilos Atvalim. And you have the chutzpah to try to feed Tevel to this religious donkey, what is it? The Gemara says, again, they saw to it that the donkey wouldn't eat the tevel. Wasn't the donkey wasn't making that decision? The donkey. Minashamayim, they saw the donkey. The Gemara has a discussion which we're not going to focus on now. The discussion: are you allowed to feed the tevel to the donkey or not? The Gemara says if you have things that are originally meant for animal food, it may not require trumas and maizers. But if it was originally intended for human consumption. And it does require truthlessness. That's what the Gemara goes on to say. The Gemara tells the whole story. Rabbi finally makes it to meet Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, and Rabbi Anasi, because they are contemporaries, have this whole fascinating conversation. Coming back to Vav Amidah. So the Gemara says, look, Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair is a holy donkey. The Kodesh Baruch Hu saw to it that the donkey would avoid eating what was non-kosher for it. Or the Jew is not allowed to have his donkey eat the non-Kosher food. Not the donkey that there, it's the Jews of it. So of course, the old and more so, the Kodesh Baruch would not allow the Tzaddik himself to do a chet. So how could it be, if Zer is bothered, how could it be that Asi accidentally ate treif? He didn't. Nothing held to his mutter. Since they were talking to us, I wasn't paying attention. How could that be? How could that be in a Shaman day? Why would that happen to the holy Tzaddik of us? The Gemara says, Reb Zera says, there's some things going on. Amar Rabbi Zera. Amar Rabbi Zera. It must be that this is actually Mutter. Because if it's Asr, then they've been a Shaman, they would have seen to it. He wouldn't have been interested in the eggs. It would have fallen on the floor. Something would have happened. He wouldn't have ended up eating the Demai. It must be this is Mutter. Now, let's stop right here. How many of you saw the end of the month? Show me.
About.
How would you answer this question? How could it be he ate the they are on the haaretz. Their wine is denied. The eggs were boiled in the wine. The eggs absorbed the flavor of the wine. How could it be that despite all those data points, in fact, when Rabbi Asi ate it, he didn't do any of there. What's the simplest solution to that?
He
didn't know, yeah.
It's
80% of Ami Aretz are Mafresh, right? For the meal, the 10, 20, 30% of Ami who are careless about how Farsh is. But it's Mutter Min HaTorah because Rogan Ami Aretz Ma'asir. So you would have expected the Reb Zeira to say, it must be that this Amaretz is from the 70% that are Ma'asir. So Chalal wants to be careful to avoid all demai because of the 20-30% who are not Ma'asir. Okay, but if they Min HaShamayim, they allowed Rasi to eat it, it must be that this is Takanat Tevel.
He doesn't say that. That seems like the easy answer. The easy answer. Rav Zera doesn't seem to have died of starvation, and he denied it. But what does Rav Zera actually say? He goes to the Beis HaMedrash, not like Rabbi Zera. He goes out and he starts chazering Mishnayos Demai. Doesn't find anything Mishnayos Demai. Then he starts chazering Tosefta Demai. You know what Tosefta is? You know what Mishnayos are? There were tens of thousands, probably hundreds of thousands of statements from the Tanaim, from generations of Tanaim, that had collected by the time of Yehuda HaNasi, at the end of the period of Tanaim, when he's ready to put together a core text of Torah Shvapeh, Mishnayos. So he gathers together all these hundreds of thousands of statements of Tanaim and picks, a little more than 4,000 Mishnayos. So I figured that's like 10, 20,000 statements all together. And out of hundreds of thousands of statements of Tanaim, he picks a small percentage, and those become that choice selection becomes Mishnayos. Shisha Sidra Mishnayos. Everything else is left where? Right. Outside. Raisa means outside. But all the outside material, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's Talmidim or junior contemporaries, Talmidim Chaverim, Rabbi Chia and Rabbi Hoshaya, they're sort of on the border between Tanam and Amram, Rabbi Chia and Rabbi Hoshaya take from all the rest, they didn't make the Mishnayos, they make a second collection which you call Tosefta. At the back of every Mesefta, the very, very back of every Mesefta, there's a Tosefta after the Rift, after the Mordechai. It reads a little bit like Mishnayos because it is another collection of material from Tanakh. And it tends to work along the Seder of Mishnayos as well. So if the Rizayah looked through, he might be probably Chazer Mishnayos Demai, or he knew that on his fingertips, nothing in Mishnayos Demai. But then he opens up a Tosefta, starts or thinks Chazer in his head through the Tosefta Demai, and he discovers the end of Perek Aleph, Halacha Yud Ches, he finds the following line. You'll find Tosefta Demai, Mishnayos Demai, Tosefta Demai in a Shas Gemara, you should know. I'm sure you know that Zroim, the Mesechtas of Zroim don't have any Bavli except for Brachot. The Mesechtas of Taurus don't have any Bavli except for Nida. But if you have a full Shas set, then typically the back of the volume of Brachos, they have all the Mishnayos of the other Mesechtas in Zroim, together with several Perisha Rishonim, Rabbeinu Shimshon, Rabbeinu Rambam, and others. And then at the very end, they'll have the Tosefta of the Mesefta, the same exact Amida for Tara. So you look in Tosefta Demai, the back of the Brachas volume, the Gemara quotes it. Here you have a Vav Amal, Alokeh Yayin Mitnasov Hamurius. A Jew buys wine from an Am Haaretz in order to put into his fish sauce. There's one recipe for fish sauce that had the fish goo, fish sauce together with wine. Okay? So I went to the wine store to buy a little bit of wine for cooking purposes, not to drink, but to use in a recipe, or lasoso aluntis. I want to use a wine to make some sort of a spiced drink. Now, aluntis?
A wine mixture.
Yeah, you add the oil in it, and maybe some honey, and some spices, and you add a splash of wine also, to make this drink called aluntis. Or you bought karshinin, lasos tchinin. Karshinin are some sort of vegetable called in English vetches. It's out there. So you have to dig hard at the farmer's market to find vegetables. But when you buy karshinim, not to eat straight, you weren't just going to grill it and eat it, you're going to use it as an ingredient in some tchinim, like tchina. You're an ingredient in some larger dish. So the Braisa says, the Tosefta says, so I went, everything is kosher except the one ingredient that I bought from the Am Haaretz. So is that a problem of Demai? There is a Demai issue. Even though this drink is now only 10% wine, or this stew, this tchinim, is only 15% karshinim, or 15% Demai, that's still a problem. Demai is going to make it usher even b'tarobos. However, the Tosefta says, I'm sorry, I missaid it. I bought the wine in order to use it as an ingredient. I bought the vegetables in order to use them as an ingredient. They are a Demai problem. But, hein atzman peturim, they are a Demai problem as long as they're not mixed. And if I went to the store to buy wine for a recipe and then I decide to uncork the bottle and drink, that's a problem. But it turns out that if I actually mix it in, go ahead and enjoy. Harumas demai is not an issue. Hein atzma mutarim. The those mixed foods that have one demai ingredient in them, not a problem. Unlike machalos asuras min haTorah, where there's an iser of tarobas, and even many machalos asuras midrabanan, there's an iser of tarobas. So one trait ingredient can make the whole thing trait. But by demai, lo gazru al tarobas demai. They don't need a zero. Antaru is demai. When Chazal created the iser drabanan, they never said, they only said it's also to have demai be'en. You can't have straight pure demai. But if you have demai wine that's mixed into a recipe, you're allowed to eat demai b'tarobas. Hold on, one second, then I want to hear your questions. So what did Zera say? Zera said, oh, I found the Tosefta. I found the Tosefta. Look what I found. A din that we had forgotten about. The tarobas demai is mutter. That if you mix demai into something else, demai is batel b'rov. So once the demai is mixed in, it's not a problem. So in fact, Rav Asi, Taka did nothing wrong. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Taka did not allow him to do a chet inadvertently. Why? I ate the demai flavored eggs. No problem. Demai flavored eggs are kosher. Even if he would have been thinking about it, Taka would have been mutter. The flavor should have said, Tarubis, demai is mutter. Demai is batel b'rov. Well, now, Rav Schwartz here pointed out that is a solution. And Gevaldik, now we know the difference of the Tosefta. But even before he found that Tosefta, he could have answered right away. Apparently, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they allowed Rav Asi to eat this Am HaAretz's wine eggs, it must be that this Am HaAretz is from the Rove, they're a Mafresh. Wouldn't that have been a much simpler, straightforward, immediate answer? So Joseph Engel writes in the Sefer, and we'll close with this for now, this Engel says, we'll see tomorrow where this takes us, or next week, where this takes us. This Engel says, you know what you see from here? What you see from here is that if I eat demai, it's automatically, demai is a new Issur Drabanan. And it's also regardless of what the truth is. It's not merely that Chazal said, Midrabanan, you should be concerned with the miyut Amei HaAretz or not Ma'aseh. Because then, if it turns out that this guy is from the Rove, I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't eat anything wrong. He says, apparently, that's not what's going on. You see from this Gemara, because the Gemara didn't give what seems like the easier answer, it must be the easier answer is incorrect. Why? Because he says, what you see is the motivation for the Issur Demai was Mir Amei HaAretz HaEinim HaAsrim. But what they created was a new Issur Rabbanan B'Torah Zvadai. Because the Mir Amei HaAretz HaEinim HaAsrim, you are not allowed to eat any Demai. And even if it turns out that this guy Taka is not Ma'aser, you did an Issur D'Oraisa of Teva. But even if he is from the Rogu HaMa'aser, you still, the Vadai violated the Issur Rabbanan, the new Issur Rabbanan of Demai. So it's not in Achanami. In terms of the Issur D'Oraisa of Teva, Reb Zera could say, okay, maybe Taka wasn't Teva. Maybe this Jew, and it's likely that this farmer is from the Rogu HaMa'aser. But that would be a solution to the potential Issur D'Oraisa of Teva. But it's not a solution to the new, separate Vadai Issur Rabbanan, Demai. It is Demai. Even if this Am HaAretz is Ma'aser, until I fix it, it is Bevadai Asmir Rabbanan Mishul Demai. But the only solution to that is, yes, but the whole Rabbanan Issur Rabbanan Demai doesn't apply to Malkam Tarovitz. Not from that. We actually found that Tosefta that said that, and that was the solution. Mishnah, tomorrow, we begin to think about, Tosefta is going to start to talk about, aren't there a lot of exceptions to this cloud? There's so many cases where tzaddikim did fall in, did do others. When yes and when not, Tosas has an approach, Ramban has an approach, and then it'll be enlightening in the context of those criteria that Rishon developed to look back at the sugya d'Achav and say, so how about demai? Where does demai fit in? Because this sugya, as Rav Yitzchak just pointed out, is not about tevel, it's about demai.